Well, today we have a guest joining us here in our studios. Rick Burns is with us this morning representing the Atlantic Rotary Club. Got an event coming up here very soon to honor the veterans once again this year. Should be a good time for folks. Educational opportunity as well for folks. Rick, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Jim.
I know you made the long drive to stop up here and visit with us. You have quite the commute.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time down at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. So home on the weekend on a most weekends. So
no longer active duty, but you still get your weekend pass.
Right, exactly.
Very good. The Atlantic Rotary Club. You've been involved in the Rotary Club for how long?
Oh, probably 11 years, 10 years, something like that.
Good long time. I know you get a chance to kind of visit with the folks at the Leavenworth Rotary Club down there too, and get a chance to experience a few different ways. One of the things that you've been involved in here the last several years is a Veterans Salute. Of course, Veterans Day coming up. It's on a Saturday this year, November 11th. But on Tuesday, November 7th, you've got the annual Atlantic Rotary Club Veterans Appreciation Luncheon coming up. You guys enjoy that, don't you?
Yeah, this is probably one of my most favorite Rotary meetings. And we try to every year have one meeting set aside for to honor veterans and those who have served in the military. And so we're hoping that we get a good crowd out to have a share a meal and some camaraderie and enjoy a good speaker.
Fair number of Rotarians, probably veterans themselves.
Yeah, we have a few that are veterans, and certainly all of Rotary, our Rotarians respect the military and are anxious to show that respect for them through this meeting we have every year.
Absolutely. And it's a chance to reach out a little bit, too, through the meetings. Usually Rotary meetings, to the outsider, they'd be probably kind of a little bit boring. They're kind of sometimes business-type things. They might have some speakers come in and what have you. But, you know, largely they're meetings for the Rotary Club members. But in this particular instance, it's open to all these veterans to be able to come in and enjoy lunch with them as well.
Yeah, this is, this is a great opportunity to show our respect for and to honor those who have served in the military. So this is one of my favorite meetings of the year.
Now, in addition to the opportunity to break bread with some veterans that day, it's an opportunity to get yourself a little bit of an education about the world around you. You've got some unique connections through what you do for a living and the experiences that you've had, and you tap into that a little bit to be able to bring some different flavor, I guess, to these meetings.
Yeah, we hope to honor our military folks. We also hope to provide some engaging conversation through the speakers that we bring in. We've been able to bring in some good friends of mine that I have through a variety of connections. This year, we have Sherjan Ahmadzai, who runs, he's director of the UNO Center for Afghanistan Studies here in Omaha. He's also an Afghan, and before he left Afghanistan a few years ago, he was actually one of the aides to President Karzai, who was the president of Afghanistan.
Very well connected. Knows a lot. Opportunity to really learn a lot, too. What can folks learn from somebody like this?
Yeah, I think Sherjan has a very unique perspective, I think. Center for Afghanistan Studies has a number of programs in Afghanistan. Sherjan spends time in Afghanistan as well, so he's sort of on the ground there, is able to bring a very unique perspective. I think the Center for Afghanistan Studies, for many, many years, even going back to the civil wars that have gone on and throughout the history of Afghanistan, have been very, very involved on the ground with projects such as teacher training. They have partnerships with about three universities there now, and Kabul University. They're training journalists there, which is an extremely important part, I think, of countries that are developing and countries that are sort of getting their legs under them as far as democracy and rule of law and those kinds of things. Certainly journalists are a very important part of that piece of it. And so the Center for Afghanistan Studies has a lot of involvement in helping to support those kinds of efforts within Afghanistan.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's got a wealth of knowledge and a wide range of things that he could probably touch on. Doing that in about a, whatever, 20-minute, half an hour's visit with folks, it's kind of tough to condense that down.
Sure it is. But I, like I said, I think Sherjan is a very articulate person, is able to sort of dissect some of the things that are going on in Afghanistan, I think. And I think it'd just be a very, very interesting opportunity to, you know, we spend a lot of time in Afghanistan, and we see a lot of things through the news, but it's also a very filtered kind of look at Afghanistan. And, you know, we see it often in terms of violence. And my experience, my personal experience has been, is that there's a lot more going on. There's a whole generation of young people who have been raised on a healthy diet of the internet and satellite television, expanded educational opportunities, particularly for women and girls, as well as expanded opportunities to travel and see the world. And so they have a much more intimate relationship with the world than their parents or grandparents did. And I think Sherjan being one of those young professionals, I think, also has sort of been a beneficiary of some of that, those opportunities as well. So I think those who come and listen will find it very engaging and very compelling and very well worth the time to come and participate.
Unless you're called to active duty, you probably haven't done a lot of traveling to that part of the world. So we kind of have our preconceived notions sometimes about what we think it is probably like, what we think the people are probably like. But I've been able to find out through your work, through the Karata Project, and some of the folks that you've introduced me to that have come to visit this area, we might have grown up a little bit differently. We might look a little different. We might have different backgrounds, things like that. But we have a lot of the same wants, needs, and desires.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, and again, with this new, very unique young generation of Afghans that are coming up, we find very, very compelling to talk with them. I have the opportunity to spend time at least over the internet and through phone calls and things like that, and see some of the things that they're doing, all kinds of things like volunteering in their communities. There's actually a Rotary Club in Herat, Afghanistan, for example, where we have a sister city partnership with Council Bluffs that I'm involved with. This Rotary Club has nobody my age. They're all young, in their 20s and maybe their early 30s, but they're all so excited about doing new and exciting things. The Atlantic Rotary Club is sort of the anchor club for a Rotary Global Grant that we're working on with the Herat, Afghanistan Rotary Club. This grant's going to renovate a school. They have completely come up with the concept of the project, the details of the projects. I was merely entered it into an online application, and they're the ones who really are going to, and they will be. They'll be the ones that manage it. All of these members of the Rotary Club have expertise in education and social workers, and some of them may be working for the government. They, all of these skill sets, many of them are entrepreneurs. And they're males and females. There's women, men and women involved in this thing. So you see this really interesting dynamic that sort of is not there when you look through sort of a filtered look at Afghanistan. They're all working towards trying to make their communities better. They're so excited about this grant. They're excited about other kinds of projects that they've worked on by themselves that are sort of just very, very exciting for me to see this sort of transformation in some ways of the approach that people have when they have a little bit of freedom and they have a little bit of information about the world at large. They're able to sort of operate a little bit differently and to think differently. And a much more intimate relationship with the world makes people, I think, or drives people to do things differently.
Absolutely. Yeah, some of the opportunities that we take for granted, it's amazing to see the wonder and excitement in their eyes about the opportunities that they've never experienced before and now have an opportunity to take advantage of.
Now, and it's all come about because of this sort of relatively secure space that they've had to sort of be, to go to school freely. And again, particularly girls and women. We have a partnership with the Herat Girls School High School and the Abraham Lincoln High School, for example, through the Council Bluffs Sister Cities partnership with Herat. And you just see these young girls who have high school girls who are so aspirational about what they want to do to make their country better, their communities better. They want to be lawyers and doctors. Great ambitions, but always underlining, we want to make our country better. We want to have things that we see in the rest of the world. And that all has come about because of their exposure to the world in a way that their parents and grandparents did not have the opportunity to have.
Well, good opportunity to learn a lot more about some things you may not have learned about otherwise by coming to enjoy this particular opportunity here at the luncheon. Let's get back to the luncheon. What do folks need to know? Do veterans need to call ahead, let you know they're coming?
Sure, that'd be good. We just like to sort of know generally how many are going to come. We're not going to turn anybody away. But if you want to give me a call, my name is Rick Burns, and my cell phone number is 712-249-7435.
Okay, just give them a call, let them know. And that luncheon, again, is coming up on Tuesday, November 7th at?
At about 11:45 is when we start assembling. We'll probably start eating maybe a little bit before that. We like to try to give the speaker as much time as we can, so we usually try to start lunch a little bit differently and or a little bit sooner, and then we'll enjoy a great hour and a few minutes of camaraderie. Again, the war stories are always important. Always, maybe have gotten a little bigger over time. The truth is a little bit flexible, maybe, but they're all worthy of being told.
Absolutely. And again, the location is the Heritage House here.
The Heritage
Atlantic.
House, yes.
So just stop on in. If you're not sure what part of the Heritage House to go to, come in the front door. They'll put you in the right location there.
Exactly.
Excellent. Well, we hope folks take advantage of the opportunity to come out and enjoy the meal. It's a free opportunity.
It's absolutely free.
Okay. Come out and enjoy the meal and enjoy some good camaraderie, as you mentioned, and also some very interesting information from the featured speaker. Should be a lot of fun. Rick, thanks so much for coming by. Appreciate you coordinating all this and sharing the information.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.